Bible and as an Italian from the Greco-Roman tradition of pagan antiquity. And as we get ready to begin our journey with Dante into the underworld, we need to say something about those most important texts that so helped to shape Dante's vision of reality.
So that one way to take a look at what we're doing here is to see Dante's learning as somehow coming together in a number of different texts which Dante depends on and which he also builds on in the Commedia. To put it as succinctly as possible, you can't really understand the Commedia without a knowledge of these texts and, of course, along with it, a knowledge of how they're used by Dante. Now, in some ways, I suppose, this may go against the grain in terms of certain modern conceptions of originality, but I want to point out the number of different ways in which this makes sense. In other words, the fact that Dante goes to other texts. First of all, it seems to me, very simply, Dante is able to build on what is already there. And he doesn't have to enter the discussion, if you will, at a primitive level. He can mine the resources of an already existing set of traditions. Right? Secondly, Dante is able to enter into a conversation with these folks, his literary ancestors, if you will, and figure out by a kind of dialogue with them what matters most important. It turns out most important to him, most important to them, there's a list of similar issues. And I think it's important to see that he's not doing this because he's sort of an antique dealer of the mind, okay? But rather because these folks who lived in the past continue, or these texts rather, have something very vital to say to him. So there are a couple of ways, I think, to look at them. First of all, these are texts which ought to be seen as sources of energy for Dante, and also ways, texts which suggest possibilities for him in terms of how to organize his own poem. Organizational principles that are present in these other texts turn out to be useful for Dante in many ways and on many occasions. And again, remember a little bit about the complexity of the poem, the 100 cantos, the three divisions, the 14,000 lines. Finding the correct organizational principles is going to be no small accomplishment for Dante. It turns out that there's almost an infinite variety of those texts that we could call upon. As a matter of fact, one of the things that's very impressive, the more one studies Dante, is the more one finds things that you didn't suspect maybe that Dante knew, and it turns out that he knew them very well. It's interesting and also very humbling to have that experience. But for purposes of the larger contours of the poem, we're going to concentrate on three, and there are no big surprises here. The first one's going to be the Bible. The second one, we've already kind of given that one away. It's Virgil's Aeneid. And the third is a text that itself attempts to combine the other two. We're going to talk a little bit about the Confessions of St. Augustine and show how Dante uses that. And again, just as a kind of, if that seems like a surprising choice, we might remind ourselves that one of the things that links the Commedia and the Confessions together is that the Confessions, it was Augustine's own spiritual autobiography, if you will, that the hero of Augustine's Confessions, if hero is the right word, is Augustine himself. And that notion of writing about the self very powerfully influences Dante.
One thing to say is that at the time that Dante is living, although we know this if we look at dates on the piece of paper, we sometimes forget it, these were already very old books. That is to say, we are nearer to Dante's time than Dante is to Virgil's, for example. So it's important to say that the books that we're going to focus on, although, as I pointed out before, Dante also read things that were contemporary to him, the books we're going to focus on were already old books. But I want to suggest that in Dante's time, there was a very different sense of periodizing the past. In other words, we tend to look back and say, aha, the books that Dante was reading as a medieval person came from classical antiquity, a different era, and that there's a great dividing line, as we tend to have that dividing line in our periodization of history today. But just to use the sort of most obvious examples that we're talking about, if you take seriously medieval periodization, then the period of history in which Dante lived was a period that began with the incarnation of Jesus, symbolized, of course, by our dating system from BC to AD. Well, if you think about it that way, it's important to remember that, of course, by definition, all the New Testament was written in the same era that Dante lived in, and the Old Testament was kind of preparation for